Praise the Lord. Isn't God good to us? Yes, yes, He is. Praise God. We're going to feed from the Spirit tonight for a few minutes and just fellowship together and pray that the Lord will give the thoughts for our message. And the theme is that we are hungry for God. We're hungry for the infinite. We're hungry for the spirit. We're hungry for the spiritual. We're hungry for Christ. We have lived without Christ. Then we have come to Christ. Christ saved us and gave us a new heart and a new spirit. And we are hungry for Him. Psalm 42, we read that. But before we get into it, let's just take a moment. What's Sunday? Sunday is Father's Day. I've been reminding my children of that for days. Days. Okay. All right. So Pastor Ronaldo and Pastor Gary have a plan that Sunday afternoon, if you want to temporarily be a dad, they're going to do something down in the city, in the area, Bel Air Edison, and you can go with them. You can meet them after the service out under the entryway, and they'll tell you what they plan to do, to go meet some young people and spend a couple hours with them. Also, graduation is Saturday. Pastor Bailey Norman is our guest speaker for the graduation, so that'll be a great time together. Also, it is I know we're tired of the coronavirus thing. Maybe you're tired of it. I got tired of it about 2 months ago. But it's serious. My daughter, Bethany, told me that one of her clients, her husband, golfs with another guy who is very healthy, older guy, maybe 70 years old. Healthy completely, but he got corona, and in 3 days he was gone. It's a real thing. So if you're comfortable coming here, and certainly you probably are, and now you're not because of what I just said, then let's bow our heads and you can leave. Okay. No, I say to the crowd online, take care. And I say it to each other, and you know that. And God is good, but remind yourself sometimes it's a real thing, and we don't want to lose anybody, amen? And we haven't, and so God is saying, what are you talking about? I'm taking care of you, and we're saying, yes, Lord, thank you, absolutely. Isn't that good? Okay, now turn. Are we ready yet? I don't think I am. I don't think we are. No, I'm not. I'm not ready. I wonder if I ever will be. Okay, so maybe there's something else we should do here. Let's see. Praise the Lord. Amen. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, you are everything to us, Lord, our God. Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Lead us in our service tonight, that we will say we have been in the house of Almighty God, and that your Spirit ministered to us, answered a question, healed a bone, blessed us emotionally, encouraged us with our friends, answered some prayer, showed your character and nature to us. Thank you, Father. We are hungry for the infinite, for you, and we have no other gods before us, Lord, in our hearts. No, there's not room for anybody else but you, Lord. You are the only one, the Almighty One. Thank you, God. Purify us, fill us, lead us, teach us, keep us. Bless our children, our families, our friends, our neighborhoods, people far away from us we haven't seen, people in other countries, everywhere. Please, Jesus, move and answer and do things, God. We rebuke the enemy. We rebuke the enemy. It's not just a saying. It's real. We rebuke the enemy. Hands off. We resist the devil. He flees. Thank you, God. Please answer, do things, God. In Jesus' name, we worship you, Lord, and thank you. Thank you, God. For a new wave of salvations, Lord, that's our prayer tonight too. New waves of salvations, bringing people to yourself with a hunger for you, Lord. Please bring a new wave, hundreds, thousands of people coming to you, thousands being born again and being filled with the Spirit, with a changed life. We pray, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, please. Thank you, God. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, please. And we will read 11 verses, I think. And before we do it, there's a verse I want you to take notice of in 2 Samuel 15. Pastor Philippe Siragi and the Bible College folks will do the wrap tonight, half an hour after. So this is 2 Samuel 15. And David is leaving Jerusalem. His son has executed a coup to take over his kingdom. Absalom is taking over. David is on his way out. What's it like for you when sometime in your life you are on your way out, right? What's it like for me when my life drastically changes in a minute? And in a way, I'm on my way out. I never thought it would happen, but it happened. What happened? What would it be like for David to be king, and then he's ousted, and he's on his way out? How would he handle that? Well, we are being prepared in life by knowing God, not a small concept of God. This is a simple idea. But here I am, and this is God for me. But the Almighty God that I know so little. I know so little. I didn't know this would happen to me. I had no idea. I am shocked. I didn't know God would do this to me. I can't believe that this happened in my life. I am shocked. I can't believe it. Well, here's the good news. You are hungry for the infinite God. You are hungry for God because you are born again. And in your new heart, you're hungry for God. Now, because you're a believer, a Christian, and you have the Bible, many times we put our boxes, we have our boxes of God. Sometimes you're with a believer and he knows everything. He knows everything. He has an answer for everything. He knows everything. And you kind of sit back and think, I don't want that God, that kind of God. I don't want a God where I would be able to learn about him and sit down and know that I got the whole thing mastered. I got the whole thing all set up, all the program, the whole thing, all the ideas and the concepts. Well, there's something more, and this is why we worship, and we are shocked when we touch the reality of God. It's unspeakable. It's beyond our words, beyond our books, beyond our lives, even beyond our thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. So that's an awesome thing. Stay loose, fresh, kind of like I don't want to. It says knowledge puffs up, 1 Corinthians 8:1, and it's connected with idolatry. Idolatry and knowledge, they go together. Knowledge puffs up, but what's the other word? But love, this is God. God is love. This is love. This is where you live. This is where you and I want to live. Love. And we're going to see it in this little story here for a second with David. What happens when your life changes in an hour and it's totally different from what you thought? Disappointment, hurt, pain, suffering, tears, crying, devastated, shocked, unbelievable. And then, so this is what David is saying. Go to chapter 15 and verse 24. And lo, Zadok also, and all the Levites with him, bearing the Ark of the Covenant of God. They're leaving Jerusalem. They set down the Ark of God, and Abiathar went up unto all the people had done passing out of the city, until all the people had done passing out of the city. And the king said unto Zadok, carry back the Ark of God into the city. Carry the Ark back. Like Zadok, he was a priest who is thinking, David is leaving, the ark is going to go with David. But David is saying, no, the ark is not going with me. This is not about me. The nation of Israel has national worship, and the ark is to stay there. And I'm leaving, and maybe not coming back. I don't know my future. I do not know my future. I do not know what will happen. And look at the text. It says, verse 25, carry back the ark of God. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation, if he gives me favor. But if he thus say, I have no delight in you. If God was to say to me, David, I have no delight in you. These are my words now. If he says that to me, I can handle that. I can handle that because I know him. If it's over, it's over. If I'm not coming back, if he has no delight in me, I know who God is. I trust him. I know him. Look at the text again. He said, if he say, I have no delight in you, behold, here I am. Let him do to me as seems good unto him. Here I am. Here I am. Do you see what this is saying? Beautiful. David does know God. And he's saying, if it doesn't work out, if God's like in a way finished with me, that's fine. He knows. And here I am. And if he doesn't have delight in me, that's fine, because I'm not the point. I know him. I will fall into his hands any day. I know him. I know he's for me. You know, if my life ends, that's his business. He knows who I am, where I am. He knows what's going on. My God is big. My God is great. Now, some believers, and by the way, when this similar thing, not exactly, but with Saul, when Saul got into trouble, he's like neurotic and he's nervous and he says, pray for me that these things that you say will not be happening. Like, pray for me. It's like pull out the rabbit foot, you know, and hope for your lucky charms. And pray for me. Pray for me that this won't happen to me. David doesn't act like that here. He doesn't act like that. When it happened to Job, he just went down on his face, and his theology wasn't so sophisticated, but he's learning. And he said, naked I came out, naked will I return, blessed be the name of the Lord. And he makes his way. But my main point here is that you and I may have suffering in our lives. Turn now to 1 Peter 4, please. In verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. The way I understand this, Jesus suffered in the flesh, but his mind was this way. If God has no pleasure in me, he knows me, here I am, and I will trust him though he slay me. I can believe him because I know who he is. He's better than any man could ever be, better than any God of this world. He is the infinite, almighty, loving, gracious, powerful, wise God. And his ways are different. And if Jesus suffered in the flesh, he had a mind where he was able to suffer and he was able to believe even when things were not going his way, even in a world that was against him, because you and I are hungry for not simply knowledge, but we are hungry for love. We want to learn about love. Love suffers well. Love can trust when it's bad. Love believes when it's bad. Love is able to minister and serve even when things are not so good. And this actually is how we think this way and overcome our selfishness, which is really the concept up here on our screen. Is that my God, and I want to say my Christian God, many believers feel my God is going to answer all my prayers. I'm going to have all the money I need. He's going to heal me of all my diseases, and I've got Bible verses for every bit of it. And I agree. I know. We learn those Bible verses. But my God is also the infinite God, whose ways are past knowledge, Romans 11. Oh, the depth and the wisdom of God. Oh, the depth of wisdom, both the wisdom and the knowledge of God is past understanding, in verse 33. So, This is good. Yeah, it's something to think about. Okay, so let's go to verse 1 again. It says, "For arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." And this word sin is meaning that, of course, and the cease from, we could also say, you know, with a little bit of liberty, we could say he has ceased from self. What do you mean, self? Well, leave me alone, and I gravitate inwardly. Leave me alone, and I protect myself. Leave me alone, and my life is about me. But then I suffer, and I come to God in my heart, and I say, like Job did, help me understand. Teach me, Job 23. I esteem your word more than my necessities, in verse 23:12. Teach me that a man must not live by bread alone, but he must live by every word that comes out of God's mouth. Now, here's a good thing about a little diagram about the Word of God, and we've learned it in the past, but this would be a whole message. We have objective Word, and we have the subjective. And this is like another level of the Word, and it is when it really ministers to me. The Word, it's a rhema. The Word, it's life. The Word opens my heart and my mind. The Word. He esteems his word more than his name. Let's go back to this. This is something I just realized the other day. Here is the Christian God who is kind of small and will say name, the name of God. Christians say, in Jesus' name. And they say, in his name. And they say prayers, in his name. And in the name of God. There's great value in that. But he also said, my word is above my name. And this means to me that there's something more than just saying his name. It's the content of the person. It's his character. It's his word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but you can't put this book into little boxes. It's like totally the revelation of his person, and it's not just the black marks on the pages. It's the actual reality that blows our mind, that gives us an understanding so that we are speechless. How many times when Jesus in the Gospels would give an answer, there was silence? How he could silence a group of people, even adversaries, because of the reality of what he was saying. Job said it in 29. Job 29, he said, when I gave an answer, everybody was quiet. That's beautiful. Well, I need to get quiet, and how? By understanding who he is. Be ready to hear when we go into the house of God. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 2. Be careful how you hear, because you may hear in a selfish way, but be careful to hear in a spirit of faith. And say, God, I'm in trouble. Help me. I'm in faith in you. You are God, and help me to understand what that means. This is beautiful. Okay, so go back now to that portion, please. Chapter 4 and verse 2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men. Like I'm going to live the rest of my time, and I've got my drinking buddies, and we'll go out and do that, and then we've got the You know, we go off and do something else, and I live the rest of my time in the flesh to the lusts of men. That's how I might live. I could live like that because this self-life does that. And I believe in God. But my God is so small, and he's so boring, and it's so dull, and it's just some rote mechanical operation that there's nothing fresh. It's not anointed. It's not liberating. It's not delivering. It's not a revelation or an insight. It's not feeding me. It's not building me up. And this is what happens to us as people. Sometimes when we are in fellowship, and this is so beautiful, we feed, we listen, we experience, we edify, we laugh, we talk, we are encouraged. It's two or three gathered in his name, there am I in your midst. And that's where we get fed. And then we go out like we did last night to these different areas with 60 or 80 young guys playing basketball and doing crafts and stuff. And I just was watching our people ministering. And it was just so precious to see faith and love and good words and a story here and a story there and edification and a relationship, just one or two people with one or two people or three people. And it multiplies, and it's a ministry of content, biblical insight. If you have one man, the Quakers used to say, if you have one man that's been touched by Almighty God, then all the neighbors within 10 miles know about it. Because a man's fire affects his life. How he's at the pig auction. How he behaves when his neighbor, you know, steals something. How he lives his life. How he goes happily to the church. How he raises his... The world isn't perfect, and his world is not. But how about this one? When David is dethroned, he says, what did he say in that verse? If God does not have pleasure in me, if God does not have pleasure in me, we could say anymore, I know who God is. And if he doesn't, that's... I'm not asking you to pray for me. I could. I'm not asking you to change God's mind. I know the infinite God, and his ways are amazing, and I am trusting in him, and my nature is this way. If we can live knowing Jesus Christ in the good times, bad times, difficult times, man, there's a testimony of the living God. Do you still love God? When you're beat to death? Do you still love God when your life is a mess? Do you still have the love of God in your life? That's the point. Go to the next verse. It says, chapter 4, verse 3, for the time past of our life, meaning our past life, may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. That was when we were carousing, running around, lying, cheating, being good, proud, arrogant, religious, whatever it was. If we had lived that way in our past life, wasn't that enough to have shown what we are and who we are and where life would take us? Look at verse 3. When we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, abominable adulteries. So when you ran with your old friends and you did all the things that they did, smoking weed and getting drunk and whatever you were doing, that period of time, wasn't that enough time to have brought in something, the will of the Gentiles? Meaning, wouldn't you see what it was by that time that you lived in that period? And so... Like, that means The selfishness that I have lived in was enough for me to realize I'm hungry for the infinite. I'm hungry for God. Anybody got another message? And I went to a high school, 2,400 kids, I think. My graduating class was 609. Huge high school with all kinds of stuff going on. Never did anybody ever tell me about Jesus Christ in that school. No teacher did, no student did, no coach did, no friend did. I never heard his name mentioned in that school. Amazing. So, what was the fruit of it? Just me and my sins destroying me and making me more selfish than ever, more of just a miserable person. But it produced in me a hunger, like I don't know what life is about, but I don't know what's going on. Who can tell me? We'll go to the next verse, please. They think it's strange that you don't keep running with them to the same degree of riot, speaking evil of you. They can't believe that you left their group. That happened to me at college. We had about 200 guys in the dorm, and we were all living in the same way, basically. Real dumb people, really. Empty people. And foolish people. One guy died in the shower from overdosing, and they dragged him into the shower, turned the cold water on, tried to revive him, and he was gone. Well, you know, there you go. All right, so now I leave that, I'm out of there. So they speak evil of me. What, he's got some religion? What, he's a nut? He's a Jesus freak? And you know, Pastor David Moore, went to the same school the year after I left, and he said, I heard about you, that you were some crazy guy that went to Maine, and you're a Jesus freak, and you're crazy. He said, I heard about you. Isn't that funny? And David Moore got saved, and listen to this connection. He's driving on the Northway, 87, and he picks up a hitchhiker, and he tells him about Jesus. And who was that? Brian Lange. And Brian Lange was unsaved, and he was on his way to Utah to go skiing. And he went, but David Moore told him about Jesus, and it stuck in him. It stuck in him when he was skiing out in Utah. Wow, what a story. And we end up here. And here we are. And who did it? An infinite, almighty God who knows better than you and I know. Who knows that if you leave your sin and find his name and his nature and his word, that it'll change us and our life will be fruitful. Look at the next part. It goes, they think it's strange that you run not with them. I like that phrase, the run. Run with them off the cliff. Verse 5, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober, be doctrinal, be wise. Have gravity. Be serious. Commit yourself. Trust. Learn who God is. Watch unto prayer. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Verse 8, and this is our little diagram. Above everything, have charity. This is the love that you have. It comes to you from God. It fills your heart. I don't know the answer to that question, but I love you. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but God loves me. I'm in a mess. This is all crazy. I believe I'm trusting in God. God is kind. God is good. God is loving. God will help me. God will take care of me. I will turn to God. I will trust him. We are made for the infinite. And when Paul preached at Athens, this was his message, that God has made us the blood of all nations. We all have the same kind of blood. In principle, we all live in our flesh. And he gave us the seasons and the sun, the moon, the stars. And he made us with the capacity to worship the unknown God, the God that is beyond all of it, the God that made it, the God that started it. And in him we live and move and have our being. And turn to him and trust in him, he said to them in Athens. And the result was some cleaved, and some said it's foolish, and some said we will hear you again of this matter. And then let's finish it up here. It says in verse 9, use charity, verse 8, charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Love will cover a lot of sin. Say that with me, please. Love will cover a lot of sins. Turn to your neighbor. Oh, love will cover all your sin. All your sins. Love will cover a whole mess of sins. How much sin? Love will cover a multitude of sins. Love will cover. Love, God's love. This is where we are living. And use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. So be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, we have a gift. We have a gift. Let me finish with this. I've been long tonight a little bit, but it's good. And we could say this. I used to think I was a peasant in this life. I was a peasant, and I had nothing. Nobody owed me anything. I was lower and lower. I was a nobody in this life. It's how I thought, in a way, of myself. Then I got saved, and I realized that I am actually some royalty. I'll put here a little crown, okay? A big crown. Huge crown. But I still lived like I still lived like in exile. I was a king in exile, which means like I didn't have anything, but I was a king. But I was in exile. But I know what it is to be a king. I can feel it in my heart. I know what it is to have authority. I know what it is to be loved. I know what it is to have a place, to have a throne. I know what that is. You see, when you become a believer, God puts a crown on you. And he says to you, you are a king. But in fact, in life, oftentimes we feel like I'm a king in exile. But what are you hungry for? What are you hungry for? I would say, I'm hungry for a throne. I'm hungry for a home. I'm hungry for the purpose. I'm hungry for people. I'm hungry for a place. I'm hungry for God's will. And this is why Jesus came. And he said, I am the gift you're looking for. I am that kingdom. I made you a king. And I am the one that's missing. I'm the one missing. But we live like a king in exile, like I think Napoleon Bonaparte, that happened to him. He was stripped. He was an emperor. He was stripped. He was on an island, and he died there. But he was brought down to nothing. I am brought down to nothing in this world. However, I have a hunger in my heart for once for what I believe I am made to have. I believe I am made to have something, and I'm hungry for it. And what my message is tonight, there's no way that you and I could ever find it in any satisfying way by the idolatry that is offered in this world. The only way that we could ever really find it is by the Holy Spirit showing it to us and revealing to us who Christ is. For us to hear God say, and for us to understand and believe that that kingdom is the pearl of great price, the treasure buried in the field. I'm sniffing it out. Where is it? I was in that high school in Rome, New York. I was like a peasant with nothing, you know, in a way. And then becoming a king, you start to sniff it out. Where is it? Where is that kingdom? I know that I'm not made to go to the grave. I know that I'm made to overcome death. I know that I am made to sit on a throne. I know that I am made to live with the Almighty Living God who cares for you and I personally. We know it with each other. We know it in our hearts. We know it in our words. And we seek it. And we do find it. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, I hope that this resonates in our spirit and ministers to us tonight. I hope that this would be understood in our hearts, that we would not reduce you to just knowledge. To say, let God be God and our words be few, and be worshipers and be refreshed and filled and have fire and life and love, and that we would love each other fervently. Love each other, not knowledge and judgment, knowledge and self-righteousness, knowledge and my own opinion, knowledge and my pride. All that is a terrible recipe for a church life. But simplicity, humility, wisdom, love, and hunger, and the love that we're looking for is here. And we thank you for that. Anyone hearing my voice and not a believer, come to Jesus tonight. You've heard him speak to your heart tonight and say, come to me. You've heard him say to you, come, you must be born again and give up your wrestling with me and trust in me. I win. I save. I heal. I bless. I fill. Come to me. I forgive. I love you. You need me. In Jesus' name, amen.